بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، just a few general advices. Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq also and give us all the tawfiq of bringing these aspects into our lives. First aspect is that what is termed as the ma'amulat, the daily tasbihat, tilawat of the Quran Sharif, other amal that we keep up with or try to keep up with. This is an extremely important aspect and this should not be missed. The punctuality, consistency on the ma'amulat, this is extremely important. Many a times it is treated on the level of something good, but if it's not done also, there's no issue with it. Whereas when the ma'amulat get left, it creates spiritual weakness. It leaves a space open for something else to come in. And when that space is open, then many things will start creeping in. Many a person who was going very well in all his matters, suddenly found everything went haywire. So now he's trying to figure out what happened. He himself doesn't know what happened. But what happened, he knows what happened. Just that we don't apply our mind to think about where we went off. And many a times the root issue is that the ma'amulat, the tasbihat, the tilawat, the zikr, this got neglected. When this got neglected, spiritual weakness set in. And that weakness then, or disease sets in when there's weakness. That's the one very crucial aspect. Shaykh often would write the statement when giving advice. Hazrat Wala Rahmatullah Alayhi used to often write this. Ye ma'amulat ki pabandi taraqqi ka zina hai. The consistency, the punctuality on the ma'amulat, this is the step ladder to progress. So outwardly, it just seems like a very ordinary thing to us, but it's very deep. So that's the first aspect that we must keep up with. Whatever we have been prescribed, if we not, the three tasbihat, that's the basic, and tilawat of the Quran Sharif, and the du'as, daily du'as, keep up with this. The second aspect is that this path of tazkiyah, we term it as tasawuf, it is what? Tazkiyah of what? So many a times, the full description of it is used as well. Tazkiyatun nufus. Tazkiyah of the nafs, of the heart. And what is the tazkiyah of the heart? What are we trying to correct within ourselves? Akhlaq. Tazkiyah of akhlaq. Because it all boils down to what akhlaq a person has. Akhlaq-e-hamida or akhlaq-e-razila. Akhlaq-e-hamida refers to all the noble qualities. So all the noble qualities starts off with ikhlas, with tawazu, with khashiyat, with generosity, forgiveness, compassion, kindness. All the noble qualities that a person should be adorning himself with. And cleansing out all the evil qualities. That is what is termed as akhlaq-e-razila. The razail. The base qualities. Whether it's pride, malice, jealousy, love of dunya, and all the other things that go along with it. So now the focus is on akhlaq. Many a times, the focus becomes the wadaif. Wadaif is an aid, it's a very important help. It is the boost that a person gets through the wadaif, which are very important, we just discussed that. But the focus is tahzeebul akhlaq, correcting our akhlaq. This is the true adornment. This is the true fragrance. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, there's one couplet of his. So in these couplets, there are big lessons being given. So he is describing a scene in that couplet that يُخَاطِبُنِ السَّفِيهُ بِكُلِّ قُبْحٍ فَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. He's presenting one scene that this foolish person, he is addressing me in the most despicable ways, in a very derogatory manner, vulgar ways, whatever. So now, this is a common problem, unfortunately. It might be completely vulgar, it might be not so vulgar, it might be just some other manner of being hurtful and spiteful. One is, now as he is describing it, that somebody else is doing it, but now at the same time it's to be reflected upon, am I also sometimes speaking things in a way that is very hurtful, it is demeaning, humiliating, and many times we get down to these kind of things with those who are closest to us. We don't even pay attention to it. It doesn't cross our minds what we've done. So in any case, Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi is depicting this whole scene. Saying this is how this person now is addressing me in a very, very bad way. But فَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. I do not want to answer him in any way. I will not respond. Now this is real strength. When a person takes the pride in his strength, never should be proud about anything, but we try to show off the strength. So now if a person is now gymming, so now he has to wear that kind of clothing that shows off that he's gymming, that now he's built up his muscles. So you find that kind of now t-shirt the person wears that will highlight the muscles. He has to show it. What's the benefit of doing all the gymming then? It's not going to be displayed. So being fit and healthy is important, but this is a different topic altogether. It's not for the sake of showing off to others, number one. And number two, the place that a person goes to get healthy and fit, if that is going to be a gym where there's all kinds of wrongs taking place, there's intermingling happening, people dressed in a wrong way, there's music taking place, so he might get a little bit physically stronger, and he'll get spiritually destroyed. So he would have enhanced the physical health, maybe a little bit, and destroyed the spiritual health in that short time also there. If a person needs to keep fit and healthy, so all these years and ages and centuries, people probably would have been very, very unfit, because there were no gyms available in all that years. It's a recent thing, maybe 20, 30, 50 years. Before that there was nothing like a gym that anybody heard about. So all these ages, people might have been extremely unfit because they had no gym to go to. But whereas the general level of health previously was far better than what it is now. People worked hard, they ate simple, they had rugged lives, and that kept their health well. So in any case, the thing is that person who... The strong person, we're talking about the strength, the real strength. So one is physical strength, the real strength is the inner strength. And therefore this has been highlighted in Hadith Sharif, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالسُّرْعَةِ. The strong person is not one who can wrestle somebody else down. That is strength physically, but that's not the real strength. The real strength, a person who has strength within himself. The strength within, إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبُ. The really strong person is the one who can control his anger. He's got control within himself. That's real strength. So now this real strength is what we have to build up. This is a spiritual gym that we have to put ourselves in and build up the inner strength. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi is highlighting this inner strength. So it's, I don't want to answer him, I don't want to respond. And who won't respond? When it's futile to respond. And most of the time, when things get heated, and somebody now is becoming upset and angry and beginning to say things, to respond at that time, 99% of the time is futile. Because it serves no purpose. Many a person says, no, but I needed to explain. But the repeated experiences you had, did your explanation make any difference? Did your explanation bring about a betterment of the situation? So it's not that anything to explain, it is the nafs wanting to get, have its share also of venting up. So now the thing is, that the response, if a person genuinely wants to respond, then wait for things to cool down. And when this, everything has settled, then in a suitable manner, in a dignified way, explain what you need to explain. But in the heat of the moment, how many times has it made any betterment to the situation? So in any case, this is the message that Imam Shafi rahmatullah is giving us. فَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَكُونَ لَهُ مُجِيبًا. I don't want to answer him. So then he goes on further to say, يَزِيدُنِي سَفَاهَةً وَأَزِيدُهُ حِلْمًا. So now the more I am, now just keeping quiet, this person wants to become more vulgar sometimes. He is becoming, behaving in a more foolish way. So you see, the more this person is becoming foolish and conducting himself in this unbecoming manner, so the more my hilm and tolerance is increasing. I will respond with greater tolerance. So now somebody might find this very, very strange or very difficult to understand. How can this happen? What's the way that somebody is being so mean, so despicable sometimes? How can this be done then, that you are giving him even more of good akhlaq? He says, yes, this is possible. There are many things that give us this lesson. So he says, كَعُودٍ يَزِيدُنِي سَفَاهَةً وَأَزِيدُهُ حِلْمًا كَعُودٍ زَادَهُ الْإِحْرَاقُ طِيبًا. This is an example. The example, Allah Ta'ala has made many, many examples for us, and we should be taking examples from, lessons from all these things. It says the oud, stick. So now it's a stick, it's a branch. In order to get the fragrance, what it's done is it's burned. But now the more somebody burns it, the greater the fragrance comes through. In other words, the person is now, so to say, ill-treating that piece of stick by burning it. But the more he's burning it, that stick says, I'll only give fragrance. That stick is saying, I'll give nothing else but that sweet scent. That's a lesson he's giving us. That's a lesson Imam Shafi rahmatullah is presenting to us. Look, we have to build up the akhlaq. It's the akhlaq that adorns a person. Akhlaq is what brings that happiness and peace. It's akhlaq that brings that goodness in a home. It's what unites people. So now, unfortunately, this is the aspect that we sometimes completely put far away behind us. When the damage is done, then we think about akhlaq. But akhlaq is to be adopted. That's when the moment is there, that is the time for akhlaq. It happens when there's akhlaq built up within us. Then the spontaneous response will be, like for example in this instance, hilm. That somebody is being conducting himself in an unbecoming way, and somebody else is returning that with goodness, it will happen when that person has developed this within himself. Otherwise, the first response will be what is inside. Then he will think about it later, then try to do damage control. The issue is about building up akhlaq. This is what this whole path of tazkiyah, tasawwuf is all about. About developing the akhlaq. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the description the Quran Sharif gives is highlighting this. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are at the peak of good character. So now, is this just a description for us to just take note of and finish off the? We have been commanded to follow in the Mubarak footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to emulate him, to emulate his akhlaq. So when we have been told that he had been given the peak of good character, we have to start emulating. We won't get one fraction close, but But the question is how much we try to emulate. So the second aspect, one was the first advice, was the aspect about our ma'amulat. That we have to keep very, very punctual on this. Sometimes a person is unwell, whatever. He is tired, extremely tired because of whatever day he had. But not to be neglected entirely. Some amount, something should be done. Even in a case where a person is extremely unwell, he can't do everything, he can't do half, he can't do quarter, do 10%. But don't miss it out. And then the second aspect is this aspect of akhlaq. When a person learns to practice the akhlaq in those environments where there's a greatest interaction, then he will practice it elsewhere to a better extent. But he only confines it to out there, then he'll be far worse off inside. Often, akhlaq is regarded for those who we need to meet outside in the rest of the world. But within our own homes, what's the need for akhlaq? We rule our home. Within our home, we're the boss. So why should we now bring in the subject of akhlaq indoors? There's something for the outdoors, something for our friends, something for people out there to speak about us. Mashallah, what wonderful akhlaq this person got. But the real place of akhlaq is indoors. If there's true akhlaq indoors, there'll be better akhlaq outdoors. The hadith sharif where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, khayrukum, the best among you. You want to be best everywhere, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us the prescription, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi. The best among you is the one who's best to his wife. Now this is something to reflect upon. These are not just some concepts. These are things that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is highlighting. So khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi. The best among you is the one who's best to his wife. So now people have so many issues, but have we considered, did we take the steps and make the effort to become the best indoors? Or does this doesn't apply? Consideration for people outside. Yes, indeed. And the good treatment for friends, for people outside. Alhamdulillah, very good. But what about indoors? This is the first responsibility. And therefore, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is highlighting it. Khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi. Now, many a times, person has so many issues and so many complaints. The question is, what have we done to correct the situation in the correct manner? So we have complained a lot, but have we made an effort to correct the situation in the correct manner? What is this correct, the situation in the correct manner? Have we established, for example, for a start, have we established ta'lim in the home? Everything is about connecting ourselves and connecting everyone in our household to Allah Ta'ala. When a person has built up that iman, that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala has increased, the person is now conscious that every action of mine, this is accountable. The words that I speak, it is accountable. When that consciousness has developed, now the person will be concerned now that I shouldn't cross the line. I should stay within the line. And if that consciousness is not there, it doesn't matter what I say, what I do, how I conduct myself. Everything will just come right. Everything will just work out in my favor. My ticket to Jannah is already booked and confirmed. So now the thing that is being highlighted is khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi. So now we need to correct the situation. How much, for example, the one beautiful kitab of Hazrat Ma'ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, Adabul Mu'asharat. The etiquettes of social living. Social life, it includes even how we live in our own homes with our families, how we live with people out there. So now, these kitabs and all these writings are for who? The effort that was taken by these akabir to put all this down, it was extracted from the various lengthy kitabs and from the ahadith, from the lives of the pious. So they took all this effort to compile it, but for who? They actually put everything on the plate. It is a morsel ready to be eaten. But now, if we don't eat it, we are the losers. So now this adab al-mu'asharat, it deals with all the etiquettes that we need to have to bring alive for that peace. Mu'asharat and the usul and the underlining principle of mu'asharat is that nobody should get any takleef from us. We should not cause any inconvenience to anybody. This is from the Hadith Sharif, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has highlighted this aspect of mu'asharat in the hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that al-muslimu man salim al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. This is the principle of mu'asharat. Everything about mu'asharat stems out of this hadith sharif. Now this is a hadith we have to inscribe on our hearts. Al-muslim, who is a true Muslim? Al-Muslim. In Arabic, that Alif Lam denotes many different aspects. To us, it's just an Alif Lam, but there's various meanings that it denotes. Now, this Alif Lam denotes Al-Kamil, Al-Muslim Al-Kamil, who's a true Muslim, a Muslim who deserves this title. So, the Muslim who deserves this title, Al-Muslim, Man Salim Al-Muslimun, whom all Muslims are safe from any harm of his words and deeds. He doesn't cause any harm, any difficulty to anybody through his words and through his actions. Any undue difficulty is not caused to anyone. In how we go about things, what we do, what we don't do, how we conduct ourselves in our homes, outside, in the masjid, how we park our vehicles, how we drive on the road, all this is part of it. Now, this is such an important hadith sharif. This whole branch of deen, mu'asharat, stems from this riwayat, from this hadith sharif. And yet it is often not even thought about, doesn't even cross the mind. We don't reflect upon what today, how I conducted myself, how many times did I cause any takleef to anybody. Takleef, as discussed last night, in our own dictionary for ourselves, the word takleef, that has been highlighted all in bold, in highlight, that nobody must cause any takleef to me. But in treating others, we took it and tore it out. Doesn't apply to others, it applies only now, that nobody must give us takleef. But how we conduct ourselves, that's not the issue. So now this is the principle of mu'asharat. So now to start becoming conscious of this, this is all tazkiyah. We discussed some of the incidents last night, to what extent the akabir were conscious about it, that nobody must get any takleef. So now where this came from? It came from the teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we're talking about bringing this peace, this happiness in the home. So what effort did we make to correct this? One is complaining about things, but the correct effort, the ta'lim is taking place or not? Are we giving quality time? So one person says, no, I'm giving time. Okay, what time are you giving? No, I'm there at home. So you're there at home, what are you doing at home? So now after a lot of what and how, a lot of questioning finally comes, okay, how much of time while you're at home, you are spending on your phone? So now it becomes clear now that I'm there but not there. I'm all over the place, but in my own home. Just that I'm physically there, but apart from being physically there, I'm everywhere else. The screen time is running into hours, but quality time to sit with our children, give them some quality time, nurture them, be too busy. And therefore the children also get too busy, they're also looking for some device. Now from this early age, there was one program held somewhere, and it was conducted by some ladies who were conducting this program for females, to conscientize them about the harms of the devices and whatever else, and how these things are being used to infiltrate into the minds of little children from their early ages. And for the sake of whether it is just financial, some material gain, and whether there's a further agenda as well, but how they've glued little children. So all these harms were discussed. So any case, now after that program was over, so now somebody sent in a question. So one lady sent in a question, she wanted some advice. What was the advice? That what is the recommended screen time? Recommended screen time for ages 2 to 7. Now this was the question, advice required. Asking for advice, recommended screen time for ages 2 to 7. Why? Because that is the new babysitter. Why we need that for a baby? Because I'm too busy with my own phone. I'm too busy in my own things. So I need somebody else to do that. I got no time to take care of the child. Either parent. That is not something I can now spend my time in. So now the babysitter is what? The device. That's the babysitter. And then what is the outcome of it? The outcome of it is all kinds of things. So therefore the general advice that is given is that when we come back home in the evening, cell free time. Device free time. Otherwise it's leading to a lot of vice. This has become like the most severe mujahada that you can. Last night somebody was asking about mujahada. Previously they were made to clean the toilets and whatever else. We put ourselves nowadays just through this mujahada to inshallah a lot will be achieved. That we say, okay, from the time we enter the home, would be cell-free time till midnight. She says, this is something very, very difficult, near impossible. She's like, person now, he's connected to a ventilator. He says, no, I must take the ventilator out. So this, unfortunately, has taken an time for zikr, not available, too busy. Too busy what? Too busy on this, on that phone. Time for tilawat, whatever, all done. But hardly anything done. So there's no time for deen. There's no time for family. What has become the thing? This device, all this technology has taken up all the time. And then it leads to so many issues. How many people say, no, I was just scrolling. Unfortunately, then something just so-called popped up. And then it popped his whatnot, his haya, popped his iman. So this is the scourge of the time. We have to start becoming conscious of this. So now where we started off was the ma'mulat. To start off with, there must be ma'mulat. You once mentioned this, Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, somebody came to him and they said, Hazrat, all my ma'mulat got neglected. I no more am fulfilling my ma'mulat. So now ma'mul means something that is being practiced. So he said, all my ma'mulat are neglected. Now the question is, ask ourselves, what are my ma'mulat? One is what I do sometimes. That's not ma'mul. That is mashallah. Good thing that we did sometime. Ma'mul is something, a daily practice. So what is my ma'mul? Ma'mul of Facebook and Instagram and ma'mul of social media and WhatsApp and whatever else. That ma'mul never gets neglected. Ma'mul of Durood Sharif, what's my ma'mul? Let us ask ourselves, what's my ma'mul? How much Durood Sharif I recite daily? Even 100 times daily? Or sometimes it happens and sometimes doesn't happen. What's my ma'mul of istighfar? Do I have a ma'mul? The whole day goes past. One person, Ibn Simma rahimahullah, he just sat down to reflect of this reflection, which we don't have time for muraqabah, for reflecting. So he decided to reflect, what's my age? So he thought about it, I'm 60 years old. So now in 60 years old, so he thought now 60 years old, so how many days have passed in my life? So he calculated it something like 21,500 years, 500 days. 21,500 days. Now he's thinking 21,500 days. And if in every day, if each day I only committed one sin, then it means that I will meet Allah, na'uzu billah, summa na'uzu billah. I will be meeting Allah Ta'ala if suddenly my life goes, because I didn't make tawbah istighfar yet. And if every day was only one sin, it means I will be presented in front of Allah Ta'ala with 21,500 sins. Now that is if there was only one a day. What about if there was 1,000 a day? Because sometimes we don't even realize what we've committed. Zahiran and batinan, within ourselves. Sometimes the badgumani, harboring that suspicion, jumping to some negative conclusion about somebody, is based on some suspicion only. It didn't even occur to us that was a sin. How much of ghibat takes place? One is that ghibat is a right of that person. And if that is not settled, if that person didn't get to know about it, then we should not be telling him about it, because now we're going to break his heart. But you have to still make amends for him. Recite Surah Yasin at least one time, make the sawab over to him. Give some sadaqah and make the niyat of sawab for him. But then also we have to correct our situation with Allah Ta'ala. We've broken Allah Ta'ala's law. How many times we made tawbah from the ghibat? Or sometimes in one day, Allah forbid, how much ghibat has taken place? How much of futility was spoken? How many things happen? It doesn't cross our mind. He thought about it. 21,500 days, if every day only one sin, 21,500 sins. And what if there was 100 sins every day? 1,000 sins. He thought about this, he reflected, and he let out a shriek. The next thing they realized, he fell and he passed away. When he passed away, somebody heard a voice from the unseen. Ya laka raqdatun ila jannatil firdaus. Oh, the one who has taken this huge leap into Jannatul Firdaus. This reflection, this consciousness, this concern, this fear of Allah Ta'ala came in his heart. And he reacted in this way, that his life went away. But now that is that reaction that came out of reflection, from that muraqabah. How many times we sat to think about it? My day went past today. How many times did I cause any takleef to anybody? So now if I did that, what am I supposed to do to make amends? And now what about tomorrow? I'm going to do the same thing tomorrow. How many good things I did? Make shukr for it. Muhasaba. This muhasaba is extremely important. It is the muhasaba that will highlight to a person what is going on in his life. Otherwise, he'll be doing so many things and taking for granted so many wrong things. And neglecting so many things that he's supposed to be doing won't cross his mind. So this is the purpose of this entire effort of tazkiyah. That it's not just going through the motions of things. We have to bring alive the reality. Bring alive the realities within us. The reality of ikhlas. The reality of khashiyat. Dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make dua. Taught us dua for all this. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha. وَزَكِّهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. Ya Allah, grant me taqwa. Purify this nafs of mine. Now, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua, who was ma'soom, sinless. How many times we make dua for this? How many times we make dua for good akhlaq? Making dua is asking Allah Ta'ala, everything happens by the control of Allah Ta'ala. But did we ask Allah Ta'ala, Ya Allah, grant me good and noble akhlaq? Just as we make dua for material things, this is more important. Allahumma qsim lana min khashyatik ma tahulu bihi baynana wa bayna ma'asiyatik. Ya Allah, grant me that level of khashiyat that becomes a barrier between me and sin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us dua of khashiyat. Ask Allah Ta'ala for this khashiyat. So now this is also a very important part of our amal, dua. Dedicated time, some time in the day, early in the morning, the hajjud time, between azan and iqama of any salah, at the time before sunset, The time, in all these times, unfortunately, our focus is sometimes something else. The time is available. We are there in the masjid already. But instead of being, many a times it's enough time to make the sunnats also. But now because this is sunnat ghair muakkada, so we don't even make an attempt to try to make it. It isn't even an attempt. Why? Because in our mind we've given our own categorization. Sunnat ghair muakkada means don't worry about it. Nafil means don't do it. Our terminology. Nafil means don't do it. So therefore we don't get the tawfiq of ever doing any nafil. Whereas nafil became nafil because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlighted what is the importance of nafil, that after the faraiz, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ Allah Ta'ala says, that my servant continues to get closer to me through the nawafil. So now have you made that an objective? I need to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. So some nawafil daily. So in any case, these are all the different aspects that we need to bring into our lives, and especially this aspect of akhlaq. This is the highlight in the life of a mu'min. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا The mu'min with the most perfect iman. Perfect iman will come when there's the best akhlaq. Together with everything else, this is the highlight. Persons excelling, mashallah, in tahajjud, very good. But that doesn't make it perfect iman if his akhlaq is not right. Person is excelling in being generous, mashallah. Very charitable, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah. But if his akhlaq is not right, then he's not in the running for that perfect iman. أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا Nabi Islam highlights the best akhlaq will make the person the most perfect mu'min. Together with everything else that's required in deen, fulfilling the do's and staying away from what Allah has forbidden. And then again in this hadith as well, it comes back home. وَخِيَارُكُمْ خِيَارُكُمْ لِنِسَائِهِمْ The best among you is the one who's best to his wife. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam highlighting it. So yes, we have to make the effort to correct things in the correct way. Bring the ta'lim alive in our homes. Dedicate time in our homes for tilawat of the Quran Sharif. Dedicate time in our homes for zikr. Bring the environment of a'mal in our homes. And talk about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala. Talk about the importance of correcting our akhlaq. Highlight things through the incidents of the pious. What kind of lives they led. Talk about this. This is a talk. This is what will help us, will help others around us as well. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant us the consciousness of bringing all this in our lives. The importance must come in our hearts. It starts off with this determination, this intention, determination. But this is not just something on a mustahab level, it's farz. Tazkiyah is farz. Because with the absence of tazkiyah, there'll be corruption within. And if there's corruption within, then even the amal externally also, all will get destroyed. So therefore, this consciousness is required, and that consciousness must take us to a concerted effort. The concerted effort will be to connect ourselves where we find our munasabat, take the advice, and we find the treatment for the maladies that we find within ourselves, acquire the treatment and practice on it, and in this way, inshallah, with the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, we will go ahead. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala accept one and all. Allah Ta'ala accept our getting together for His pleasure. Make it for His pleasure. Allah Ta'ala make it a means of our islah and tazkiyah. Allah Ta'ala reward all those who have been working so hard and tirelessly to take care of all the needs and arrangements. Allah Ta'ala bless them with jazai khair and grant them the best of dunya and akhirat. We should make dua for one and all. Allah Ta'ala keep us with afiyat in deen, afiyat in dunya. Allah Ta'ala save us from all the fitnas. This is a dua that we should be making above everything else as well in the zamana that we live in, because there's fitna at every step and corner. So to keep begging for the safety from fitnas for ourselves, for our families, Allah Ta'ala save us from all the fitan. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min al-fitan, ma zahara minha wa ma batan. Allah, we seek your refuge and your protection from every fitna. What is apparent, what is subtle, the fitnas externally, the fitnas within ourselves. Allah, you save us. This is the du'as that we have to make earnestly. Allah Ta'ala, give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. In about another 5 minutes time will be the time for Ishraq. We try to fulfill Salatul Ishraq first, and then breakfast has been prepared for the Satis. We can then proceed for breakfast and continue. Allah Ta'ala accept one and all. Akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.